Welcome to the wrestling show that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on lovewrestling.ca. My name is Zach and I'll be your host. For the third straight year, we are proudly presenting an episode in affiliation with the Toronto Comic Arts Festival. The past 2 years, they have sent me tremendous guests in advance of the festival, and this year it is certainly no different. Pass Me By is a graphic novel series. It's a queer Canadian rural tragedy following an elderly man in a something of a reverse coming-of-age story, and the authors behind it are two tremendous artists. Kat Simmers and Ryan Danny Owen join me on today's episode of Smark and Friends. We talk about the series, we talk about mural work, we talk about their own contributions to TCAF, and of course, we jump into a bit of a wrestling watch-along. But first, we gotta thank the good people who keep the lights on here at Love Wrestling. I'm of course talking about Manscaped.com, because support for Love Wrestling, here comes the ad voice, is brought to you by Manscaped.com, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. So join the over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer from us at Love Wrestling. Head over to manscaped.com, use our promo code LOVEWRESTLING. You're going to get 20% off your order. You're going to get free worldwide shipping wherever you are on the globe. How cool is that? Your balls will thank you. Manscaped.com, promo code LOVEWRESTLING. Back with Ryan and Kat right after this message.
Hello, friends. Spencer Love here to interrupt your drive time commute or your regularly scheduled podcast listen to tell you about Love Wrestling, the brand new destination to find out more about what you love in the squared circle. We've got previews, reviews, breaking news, interviews, opinion pieces, features, and more all under one convenient location. Head to lovewrestling.ca, youtube.com/lovewrestlingca, or your preferred podcast player of choice because you want to check out what you love about pro wrestling.
And we are back. Joining me today are the authors of Pass Me By, the graphic novel following a man enduring dementia and a past he chose to forget. I am joined by Kat Simmers. Kat, how are you?
Hi, hello. I'm doing well. Thank you.
And Ryan Danny Owen. How are you, friend?
I'm good. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I know you're both very busy. And of course, with TCAF rolling around, I'm sure things are starting to wind up.
Yeah, spring is happening. Also, when I'm also a muralist as well as a comic artist, and things get firing up about this time. So, lots going on, but super excited for TCAF. I've not been able to go in person before, and a lot of different things lined up. So I'm stoked.
Right on. Yeah, I understand that last year, like you were part of a remote panel as opposed to being there in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like Zoom rooms. We like to spend 90% of the time just chatting with our fellow like renegade artists, which was honestly great.
Very cool. And so it's like much more different kind of energy getting ready to be there in person, no doubt.
Yeah, we did Calgary Expo here in the city a couple of months ago. And that was really, really good. Everyone's just so excited to be back and, you know, sharing with other artists and getting to support projects that are coming through. And some projects that just started during the pandemic too, which is really, really awesome to see.
Absolutely. The same thing's happening here in Montreal. You know, we're getting ready for the Fringe Festival, Jazz Fest, Just for Laughs, like things that like, you know, have kind of rolled out in recent years, but getting back into the swing of things. But now it like really feels like, you know, cities are back, festivals are back, and it's good. It's a good time. First, I also want to thank you guys for letting me read a copy of Pass Me By. It was an absolute marvelous read. I loved what I read. You've published two books of this. First, the first book being Gone Fishing, and the second being Electric Vice. Kat, you yourself grew up in a small Canadian town. Where did the want to tell this story come from?
There's like there's a lot of elements from my experience that are pulled into it. Particularly, the story came out of a period where my maternal grandmother was diagnosed with dementia, and that was a thing that took a lot of processing, and I found this comic to be really vital to it. And the setting of the small town, just, it felt so rich, and it felt like there was so much to explore there that sometimes, especially with telling a queer story, it's not often that rural queer stories are representative, especially from like prairies out here. Like, it just felt like there was a story that wasn't being told, and like I had an opportunity to work on it with Ryan. And yeah, there was like always just like this like touch of magic that I could feel was there, and like just wanted to pursue it, wanted to find out where that led.
Very cool. And Ryan, like, as well as lettering these books, you, as mentioned, co-authored the story. What was the partnership looking like when you authored these, this series?
Oh, man. Well, we started the series basically right as soon as we both finished college. We both went to the Verticulture Art Design, now AU Arts. But basically, Kat had this very small comic that they were working on in like, their third year. And then as soon as we finished fourth year, we just started realizing that there was a lot of power in telling those kinds of stories. And, you know, especially making a story with such complex characters coming out of, you know, the fairies, talking about queerness, talking about just the deep-rooted parts of growing up here and kind of all of those explorations of being queer within this kind of place. And it just went from a lot of different areas because it's an important story. It just kind of had to happen.
And like you mentioned, there's a rich tapestry of amazing characters in this, but all centered around Ed. It really reads like a beautifully crafted character study. I really love just diving into this character's story. Now, are there any challenges that come about, like co-authorship, especially being like two authors deep in this one character? Are there any kind of conflicts that come across when you're telling the story, or challenges, I should say?
Yeah. I don't know. I always talk about the fact that we kind of fight a lot in like very, very nice ways. I think you kind of have to fight a lot when you're doing such a collaborative, like very intensive thing. You kind of have to argue your points and why it's vital and important to tell it this way. I'm the one mostly leading the arguments, but sometimes capturing them with a fight.
I can discover if I'm like, if something like hooks me and I'm like, no, I feel like this is it. And like, it will take me a while to like parse through why that is important.
Yeah.
But I think it's also really, really great that we have those back and forth, and we are like being really critical of what we're doing, what our intentions for characters are, because that makes me think about what my intentions are with the book a lot more. And like, it's also, we do definitely have times when we're writing and like we both just like have an amazing, like, I'll have an idea for a scene, Ryan writes a draft of it, and I'm like, this is exactly it, or like, any sort of combination of labor. But sometimes we nail it. When we don't, we're like,
we argue because it's important. There's a violence to argument.
Yeah. Okay. The first one kind of like really beautifully outlines Ed's fall into dementia. The second one delves into his romantic backstory as part of the band Electric Vice. Tell me, what is the word on book three? Should we be waiting at the edge of our seats for this one?
I hope so.
We definitely have this way that we're approaching, particularly the first three books of the series, where we're sort of introducing new elements that will create like a deeper understanding of what you've read before, and we'll make you revisit those books in a new way. And in book three, a huge element of that is going to be introducing Ed's granddog to the story. That sort of changes up some dynamics and introduces more queer elements into the story. While also touching base back into the past and seeing where things are going.
I'm glad you say that. I've lost sight of like what your exact wording was, but something about make you want to go back and read the other things, because that was my exact experience after reading book two. There's just some things that maybe I took for granted on first read of book one that I just absolutely wanted to revisit, and I want to relive that magic with book three. So I'm very excited, and I'll be keeping an eye out for news on that with bated breath. But one of the major reasons that Pass Me By exists is because of crowdfunding and grant applications, which brings me to Kat's role at TCAF. I understand you're going to be running a funding indie comics workshop.
Yeah, I've been feverishly working on a little PDF to guide myself through it. There's so much work that happens around making a comic that is really important if you want to try and make a go of it with indie comics. And it's something that I knew nothing about heading into. We've learned a lot just by trial and error. There has been successes and failures, and I feel like I have a lot that I can share in that programming. There's a lot of ground to cover, but I kind of have like bullet points of things that really stuck with me from the experience of Kickstarter or grants and indie publishing as well. And tabling with Renegade at Expo and like there's all these like skills surrounding being a comic artist. Like at, like tabling at events is so funny because it's like hyper intense retail for a few days. Wait, well, this was the job I signed up for? Okay.
You need to have that good 1-2 punch with Expo. You gotta be like, well, here's the interesting part. Now here's all the good stuff.
But honestly, it's so important for the work that you're doing too, like to be able to connect with people in person and for us to work on our pitch a few hundred times in a day. Honestly, it like helps us to like, you can see when like different parts of the story like light up a person's eyes. And that's like, that's great to know because so much of this like work that we do is done either alone or maybe together, but like unlike say like a band or a drag performer where you're like performing to the audience and you have that feedback, you know, you don't really get that. You put the book out into the world and people read it on their own. And so it's so nice to be able to like have that little bit of understanding come across.
Right on, right on. I'm sure the guests will be very eager to check that out. Now, aside from like what you're doing at TCAF, let me ask, what are you guys excited for at the festival itself? What else are you looking forward to?
I'm really excited for the rest of the programming for Root Women Academy. I'm like, that day it was packed with a lot of speakers or a lot of topics that I'm really excited to see. And then just being able to walk around and see the sort of work that's going on. Like the environment at TCAF, I feel like is so close to like the type of community in comics that I've been obsessed with for years. Yeah.
There's also the Doug Wright Awards ceremony.
This is true. Yes. That is a thing I am nervous for, but also excited for. I mean, just being nominated for that award is...
We're nominated for the Best Emerging Talent, the Nipper.
So, congratulations, that's amazing.
Thank you. I might be there, I don't know.
We can do.
Right on, right on. Now the big question that brings you here to Smarkin Friends, are you or have you ever been a pro wrestling fan?
Very young. My dad
very young.
I never watched WWE on TV, but I played a ton of like WWE like wrestling games, like
yes,
yes.
So that's my experience.
The character creates on those were fabulous.
I would like lend my games to like, you know, younger siblings and younger cousins who would just like have an absolute blast with those character creation suites. Unbelievable stuff. We're not going to be watching anything from WWE today. We're actually going to be watching something from an independent promotion called Beyond Wrestling. They're out of Massachusetts. This is actually a tag team match. This is between a powerhouse tag team called The Butcher and The Blade, who are collectively known as The Butcher and The Blade as well. And they're going to be facing off with a legendary tag team who have been active since 1983. By the time of this 2020 match that we're going to watch, they'll have been in the professional wrestling business for 37 years and have yet to let professional wrestling, I'm so proud of this, pass them by. Thank you. We've got Ricky Morton, we've got Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express taking on The Butcher and The Blade. So if you're listening to the podcast version of this and you want to watch along with Kat, Ryan, and I, and I really hope you do, please head over to Beyond Wrestling's YouTube channel. Click subscribe while you're there. They've always put out great, fantastic matches. And find the match between Butcher and The Blade and the Rock and Roll Express. Go ahead and pause this podcast if you need to. Are you ready? Good. We are going to click play on go. Kat, Ryan, are you ready to watch some wrestling?
Damn right, I'm
absolutely
ready.
Awesome, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. A little loud, I'll turn that down a bit.
Oh,
here we go. And there they are. Again, they've got years on them, that's for sure.
They wear it well,
indeed. I'm just going to turn that down just a little bit more. Okay, we're going to lose the sound, but I think that's okay.
They do look like a Butcher and a Blade. Oh, he's got a good mustache, too.
Whoa, that, like, old-timey strongman mustache?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, it's great.
That's his?
Oh, he's actually, go ahead. The man with the fantastic mustache, I don't know if either of you are familiar with the heavy metal band Every Time I Die, but he's also the guitar player from now defunct band.
What a performer.
Exactly. Well versed. Again, like the other format I have of the show, I always like welcome content creators who aren't necessarily familiar with wrestling like yourselves, but I also like talk to so many wrestlers who have just like this amazing outside experience and outside projects. I've talked to like several who write comics, for example, or are in musical or in bands and things of that nature. These are just creative people in this industry, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's all a performance. It's all putting that together, right?
100%. You know, like, you will find so many wrestling fans who take so much exception to that term. Like how dare you call it performance? How dare you call it performance art? It's like, come on, we're watching, like, a match with a predetermined outcome. There's a lot of improv. Of course it's a performance art.
We were just talking about how it kind of has a lot of similar attributes to performance art in itself. I did performance art in school, but also, like, drag in a lot of ways.
It sure.
It has similar elements to that. I love it. It's like sports themselves are so performative in general, but like really like recognizing that and taking it to the next level is pretty extra in a way that I like.
Just putting on a damn good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Pageantry, storytelling, athleticism, that's pro wrestling.
Yeah, like they all like built a character and they're coming to like show that off and like, be there in the pre-match.
It's the geniality,
the costuming, the mustache, the hair.
In regards to like the pageantry and these big these gigantic characters, do you remember any of those characters that you created in those old WWE games?
I remember like one, like something. You know, like the very skinny
spooky direction.
Yeah. I always went the most absurd, like everything that was the ugliest feature that I could get on any of them.
Where there was like no limit. It was like you were just like adjusting polygons, and it was like no limits.
So you could just make
monsters. Yeah.
So just give them like full purple skin, make them the amazing Hulk kind of thing. Yeah.
Beautiful. So right now, Ricky Morton's having a hard time weathering the storm of a Butcher who's just overpowering him at every turn.
He's assed down. I mean, that's another one, is I definitely had an old man character in those games, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course. Oh.
Takes down Butcher.
Takes down the Butcher. Oh, his back. How's he going to look all that meat?
I was just telling Ryan about a dress burlesque performer in the city who does like strong routine to Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, fun.
Where they have these like it's like 1,000 pounds on each side of this dumbbell. And like, the team bringing it on was so committed. They were like struggling with it and grunting and like when they get a piece of it, like, 3, 2, 1, and like smash it into the stage like it had fallen and shook and everything. it makes me think of like the way that like when they get hit, they're just gonna, like take it out and like need a breath. Like this punch was so hard.
Oh man. Right on. Where was that show you were saying?
Well, that performance at the panel. Homeboy Selleck was the performer, and three burlesque performers in drag were the ones bringing the ladies on stage, so fantastic.
Very cool. Now, admittedly, I'm showing you a pretty short match. The Rock and Roll Express is not known for, you know, 16 to 20 minute barn burners at this stage of their career. So, who are you rooting for, and who do you think is going to pick up the W?
Oh, I wonder. Who do you think? Oh,
the rock and roll team, for sure. I want them to pull back. They're the underdogs. I am not in the business for them.
Good shouts.
They're unstoppable. They're a dynasty.
They are a dynasty, absolutely. In fact, Ricky Morton is now mentoring his son, who's gotten to the pro wrestling industry, Kerry Morton, and Ricky and Kerry have been occasional tag team partners in recent weeks in the NWA.
Oh, yeah. Intergenerational wrestling, we love to see it.
I had a hard time picking a match that that caters to your project, that like explores the same themes. I could have gone the age route, I could have gone like glam rock, but yeah, ended up gravitating towards the Rock and Roll Express.
I feel like there's a bit of both of those in Ricky with long white hair.
For sure. Again, you should have seen them in their heyday, man. Like they're my friends. They're absolutely just so much ostentatiousness, so flamboyant. It was just beautiful stuff.
I'm gonna have to go back and look. They I've been noticing as of recently, glam rock has kind of been starting to come back into regular things, and I've been enjoying it. Peacemaker. If you watch that.
Oh show, man! Peacemaker.
Yeah. This is just like the best run of glam rock I've seen in a long time.
I was so ready for like 70s fashion impact, flare, like jeans are back in,
long
like,
hair, flare, glitter bedazzlement.
So it happened really quickly, but we actually just missed the finish.
Oh no!
Wow, Rick, I slipped. Sorry.
No, not at all. Again, always in the spirit of the shows. Certainly not the first time we've missed the finish, and it won't be the last time. Ricky Morton with a sunset flip while Robert Gibson pinned the legs down, able to get a pin on the blade in that match. Oh, geez.
They look so upset. Oh, tragic.
They're a little upset, but they're... But all in the spirit of competition.
It's like Mickey Rourke.
Oh, totally.
You can absolutely be good with
it. Absolutely. Yeah. And those fans? I just love the blade on the ass. I don't know why. It just makes me laugh every time. I'm like, that's great.
It's like the masculine version of like those spectacles.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now that's.
Well, sportsmanship between old school and new school to finish off this match. That was Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express, taking on the Butcher and the Blade in tag team action from Beyond Wrestling. Cat, Ryan, sorry?
Dudes being dudes.
Just dudes being dudes. What did you think of the match all around?
I loved it.
It was highs and lows. It took you on an emotional ride.
There was a few flips as well.
There was some acrobatics.
Absolutely. Very cool. Kat, Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to watch a little wrestling with me, talk a little bit about TCAF. Before I let you go, please take the time to let the audience know where to follow you on social media and all the important plugs that you might want to drop.
Yeah, well, you can find me at @_simmers on Instagram. And check out my portfolio of murals and different works at catsimmers.com.
And you can see Kat at TCAF this year. Go find them at Tripoli. You can find me at rdannyowen on Instagram or on Twitter or on anything else. And you can check out my website at ryandannyowen.com.
Marvelous. Thank you very much, friends.
Thank you so much for having us. This was great.
This was super fun. Thank you.
Additional support for Love Wrestling is brought to you by RK Athletics. If you're in the Edmonton area and you're looking to make a new commitment to your fitness routine, then Rich King is the person to speak to at RK Athletics. Head over to the website, rkathletics.ca, or even just, you know, be casual about it. Drop him a DM over on Twitter or Instagram at rkathletics1. Either way, visit the website even if you're not in the Edmonton area, because there is a wealth of online resources for you to check out. Start chasing your dreams with RK Athletics. Kat, Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me on today's episode of Smark and Friends. Thank you for indulging me in a pro wrestling watch along. Wishing you both all the best as TCAF approaches and as Ed's story continues in Pass Me By. Viewers, listeners, please check this book out. It's a great read. It's so beautifully crafted. You know, pick it up at your local bookstore. If it's also available on e-readers, you know, your e-reader of choice. Either way, please take the time to seek out this book, seek out the series. You're going to be chomping at the bit for book 3 just as much as I am. And of course, be sure to check out the Toronto Comic Arts Festival, even if you're not in Toronto, because they've got a whole slew of online panels that are always worth checking out. TCAF runs in person from June 17th to June 19th and at the Toronto Reference Library on Yonge Street, and runs online from the 18th to the 26th. If you really like what you heard today, please head over to ratethispodcast.com/lovewrestlingca. You're not going to be rating just Smark and Friends. You're also going to be rating all the fine content being built very proudly here at Love Wrestling. We're talking about Between Two Beards, Spencer Love interviews, Friend Info with Cody Defoe, review shows like NXT, and Power Out, and of course the All Elite Sidecast. All great stuff being built once again so proudly by us here at Love Wrestling. We hope you're enjoying it. Also, feel free to follow me on social media. On Twitter, it's SmarkMouth. On Instagram, it's Smark.Mouth. And you can follow the show at Smark and Friends on Twitter and on Facebook. And of course, follow at Love Wrestling CA on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and TikTok. Thanks so much for watching Wrestling with Kat, Ryan, and I. We're going to be back next week. Till then, friends.